Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO.
BS.
Well, another fabulous show coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
After a week of, we had lots of rain here yesterday.
Yes.
They say it never rains in Southern California. It rains.
It's that time of year.
It comes down in buckets.
Yeah.
And of course, my hose blew off today and my neighbor's like, there's a fountain in your backyard. Gee, it already got irrigated yesterday, but that's neither here.
You didn't have irrigation in Buffalo, did you? You didn't need irrigation.
I had a hose.
Right.
And I would sit on my front lawn and go, because it would only be a few months out of the year.
Exactly.
You know, and we didn't, a drought would be, you know, 3 months maybe.
Right.
You know, but we had Lake Erie there and Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
So it didn't really.
Very different.
Right. I don't understand why they don't just build a big pipeline from Lake Ontario or Lake Michigan or Lake Superior down to Southern California, and then the problem would be over.
Piece of cake.
That's right.
Why don't they listen to you?
That's true. Well, one of the things that we wanted to do tonight.
After we thank our sponsors.
Oh, we have to thank the sponsors.
Yes.
That's true. We have to thank Harlan Hogan over at VoiceOverEssentials.com.
That's right.
VoiceOver Extra.
John Florian.
Edge Studios.
David Goldberg.
David Goldberg is our guest tonight, and he's the CEO of that.
Chief Edge Officer.
He
wants you to know that.
Okay. He is the Chief Edge Officer.
Right.
But we need to thank them because they're a great sponsor of our show. Mm-hmm. And Source Elements. I got a Source Elements story this week.
Oh, you do. Cool.
And VO2GoGo.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new special for February.
All right.
They're doing some cool stuff. That. And Antland Productions, Uncle Roy, and his killer demos.
Your day in the sun.
That's right.
We love him.
Never give up. Never give up.
That's a dream.
All right. Anyway, one of the things I asked for my birthday was a beer making kit.
Really?
Yes. And it took a month.
Yeah.
But here it is. One bottle. All right, wait a second. Two bottles of beer. So I have no idea how carbonated this is. This may make a mess.
Are we going to open it right now?
We're going to open it right now.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Let's see how this works.
Before interviewing your boss, always have a drink.
It tastes like beer. It's a little flat.
Not bad.
All right.
Not bad, man.
I
think it tastes a little bit like honey brown. You ever had honey brown?
I have.
It tastes like a honey brown.
It's a little nutty, a little honey brown. And it's not half bad.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's just
I'm jealous of my wife's cousin Howard, who apparently has quite the apparatus for making beer.
Oh, well,
so this is VoiceOver Beer Shop this week. Anyway, but we've got David Goldberg coming up tonight, and we've got stuff from NAMM.
We do have another clip from NAMM.
Right? And we got lots of questions from our amazing audience, who has all sorts of questions.
It's going to be a packed show.
It is. Anyway, but right now.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
All righty. Well, then, I had to do a thing with a teleprompter this morning, only they didn't have one. But anyway, for February 1st, the VoiceOver Extra News, full-time voiceover income trends. Full-time voice actors are constantly earning more money year to year, according to polls taken by VoiceOver Extra. And the most recent poll finds 66% of the respondents reporting more voiceover income in year 2015 than in 2014. Now, on the other hand, 29% of the full-timers earned less voiceover money in 2015, and another 5% said income remained about the same between the 2 years. The current poll, initiated on January 29th and still open at the voiceoverextra.com website, asked this specific question. If you've been earning money as a full-time voice actor for at least 2 years, did you earn more money as a voice actor in the year 2015 than in 2014? Your answer, of course, is anonymous. We won't say any names at all. The poll was conducted at the VoiceOver Extra website and via social media. As of today, 56 full-time voice actors have participated, and part-time voice actors will be polled about income soon. So you part-timers, what are you doing? It's a hobby. The income trend for full-time voice actors is remarkably consistent with the results from earlier VoiceOver Extra polls. In October 2015, 65% of the full-timers reported making more voiceover money in the past 12 months than in the previous 12-month period. Another 13% reported less income, and 6% no change. In June 2013, 56% of the respondents were full-time voiceovers, earning more than the previous year. And in October 2012, that number was 58%. But of course, this polling method can only reveal possible trends. And as a voice actor, as voice actor pro Debbie Gratton notes, asking such a broad question gets to brass tacks, but we're not sure what the overall results can show without more detail. For instance, she adds, if someone is a full-time voiceover but in the ramp-up stage of a business, they may be steadily making more income as the business ramps up from 1 year to another. For others, in a steady flow of six figures over many years, there may be a decline due to the influx of new competition and in turn contributing to a disturbing decline in rates due to the buyer's market mentality driving down prices. Perspective and positioning is everything. Indeed, VoiceOver Extra will soon poll for income perspectives as well. The report about this poll and hundreds of additional and free how-to articles are available now at VoiceOver Extra. That's XTRA.com.
We love him over there.
We do.
Keeping the news flowing. He's been at this a long time.
He's a newsman. He's a newspaper guy. That's why we like John
no
Florio.
Wonder.
That's right. But it's interesting, you know. In other words, you know, it's steady.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people are making more money, some people aren't. There's a lot of people who are new and they're getting, you know, they're making steadily more. Mm-hmm. And then the people who are making a lot of money aren't making as much as they were before.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are becoming coaches.
That's right. It's true.
Which I'm sure David will talk about with us. So we'll get to that in a little bit.
Should we run that NAMM thing now or later?
Well, why don't we run it now? We were at NAMM last week,
and
I'm still completely overwhelmed.
it's freaking
so
mind-blowing.
Much stuff!
It's so incredible.
I picked up a copy of Sound on Sound magazine.
Yeah.
The whole NAMM show's in there.
Yeah,
it's like,
NAMM,
oh, there's the ad for this thing, there's the ad for that. Oh, yeah, we looked at this thing.
Okay, saves you a lot of hassle.
That's right. Anyway,
but it's not as fun.
Right. So let's see what went on at NAMM.
This is a particular one covered by our buddy Leah Savoli.
Ooh.
There you go.
Hey, everyone. This is Leah Savoli reporting live for Widom's World at NAMM 2016 in Anaheim, California. We are going to be covering everything that the voiceover world wants to know about. Hey, everyone. I am here with Brad DeSalva from Apogee. How are you doing, Brad?
I'm good. It's been a great NAMM show.
It's day four for you or five at this point?
I lost count. I've been here since Tuesday, so it's been fun, though. It's been a lot of fun talking to people.
Awesome. Well, I'm here with Widom's World, and we are here interviewing people and sharing all of the goodies that anyone in the voiceover world might want to know, love, buy, use, sleep with.
Yeah.
Did I say that? Oh, my gosh.
You know, we really wanted to make a lot more products that connect to the iOS devices, the iPhone and the iPad, iPod Touch.
To make things more portable for today's digital world.
Of course. I mean, so many people are making content on an iOS device. I mean, just by virtue of necessity, they'll be at shows like this wanting to film. And so we want to bring high-quality audio to iOS devices. Now, we wanted to do a digital lavalier microphone. This is something that...
which is kind of awesome. So someone like me could just actually clip it in, put my lav on, and walk around.
That's right. So we teamed up with Sennheiser because they have, of course, the best in lavalier microphones. We came to them. We said, look, we want to pair your mic capsules with our digital audio conversion and our mic preamps.
This first one, this is your Clip Mic Digital. Clip Mic Digital.
So what this is it's their ME2 microphone capsule. And as you see, it has this little component here. This is the Apogee conversion and mic preamp circuitry in here. And it allows you to connect digitally directly to an iOS device. Now, why that's important is the digital conversion is happening in here through our circuitry, not through the iPhones. And very simple, because you could just plug it in and use any number of apps that you want. So in addition to the Clip Mic, which has, again, the ME2 capsule from Sennheiser, we have a little bit more of an upgraded version. We have the MKE2 digital.
What's the difference with that?
Now, this features their MKE2 microphone capsule. It's really a broadcast industry standard, this capsule. It's a little more rugged, a little more robust, and therefore a little more higher price. So we have, this model here is a $199 model for the Clip Mic Digital, but for the MKE2 digital, it's a $500 model. So a little bit.
Okay, so you're investing a little bit more, but you said it's broadcast quality.
Absolutely. I mean, really, both are incredible quality, but this one will definitely be a noticeable upgrade from the Clip Mic Digital.
Watch this.
So another important thing to point out is the software. You might be wanting to record the video onto, with a DSLR camera, or a separate video camera, and the audio separate. It's a pretty common workflow. A lot of people use the handheld Zoom recorders. Those are great. We now, we've really thought through the workflow of this, and we actually introduced an app. Apogee made an app called Meta Recorder. And what this is specifically designed for is field recording. It's a field recording app for iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad that really allows you to not just record, single takes, but organize your files while in the field and collect metadata, so you could add markers and favorites and notes to your takes. We could say, I can name this, Apogee Booth NAMM interview, and it'll organize it, take one, take two. We could add markers to which takes.
So until you add a new file name to it, it's going to recognize that these are takes from the same.
Exactly, exactly. And then let's say, the third take in is the best one. You could mark that as a favorite.
And then know when you get home later, you don't have to listen to all the other ones again. Wow.
Yep. And here's the best part is that you could export all of this as Final Cut Pro XML data, so that you could literally drop that into your Final Cut Pro session. All of your media files are there and organized. You're not looking at audio one, audio two, and trying to figure out, okay, which video take does that pair to? You can keep it all organized and really simplify the workflow in post-production.
That's amazing. You were mentioning that there's actually some integration with the Apple Watch.
That's correct. So we were actually one of the first audio companies to figure out a good use for the watch. And this one really, I think, makes a lot of sense. It's not just a novelty, but one of the nice things is we have...
Ooh, look, he's got the Apple Watch.
We have remote capabilities from the watch. So what you could actually do is start and stop Meta Recorder. I think it's catching up with my phone here. But you could start and stop recording. You can add markers directly from your phone and even control the input gain level of your connected microphone. So it's pretty amazing. So you could see where that would be handy. Let's say you're filming someone. They have a Clip Mic on them, maybe an iPhone in their pocket.
Yeah.
I could start and stop recording on their phone that's in their pocket. So it's a pretty nice thing. The other important thing to mention is we just released the ability to have several satellite devices connected with Meta Recorder. So you could have, this iPhone with this microphone in your pocket. This gentleman over there, he could have a microphone and an iPhone in his pocket, and I could control that all from my phone and start and stop recording at the same time, have all of those takes from all the devices simultaneously. So it's a great alternative to a wireless system. For film sound location recording.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Great.
Things are getting crazy.
Yeah, it's technology here is always evolving, and we're always thinking of the next things that can improve workflows. So anyone has ideas, we're always up to hear them. You can always look to Apogee to innovate.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Brad. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
This is Widom's World, and we are at NAMM talking about all things that the voiceover world wants to know about, should know about, and is going to know about.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, that I think that the mic is cool. If the sound quality is there, which if it's a Sennheiser product, it's going to sound good.
Sound good, yep.
And Apogee. You know, can a lavalier mic be used to record a professional voiceover? That remains to be seen. That's something I want to experiment with because you can't have a more portable mic than that. You know, throw that in your bag.
Really?
But the watch, the fact that you can roll, record, and adjust gain from the watch, I mean, it sounds completely unnecessary, but I just, that was some serious geek cred right there. I was impressed. Yeah.
I can see the utility for something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we've talked about using labs on this show, but no, we use the Holden Hogan VO1A.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
because he's a sponsor, but because it has a nice white pattern on it, and it picks up our voice.
No, that works beautifully for us. I know it looks weird that we have it sideways. It's just because we're on camera. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
But
I had an audition at a studio this week, SM58.
No kidding.
I'm like, what?
Really?
Really?
What, do you think you're an animal? You're going to go, hey, this is a microphone?
Bonk, bonk, bonk.
Which end do you talk into?
Apparently so. Well, very cool. All right. Well, we've got a couple of questions that have been submitted to our Dropbox, and we want to answer those. And we got lots more coming up here on VoiceOver Body Shop, along with David Goldberg from Edge Studios, coming up in just a little bit. So do not go away.
Hi, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at atlandproductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology,
business,
and good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
We are back.
We are back.
I have the control, but I forgot to say something.
Oh, okay.
Source Elements.
Source Elements.
Source Elements is that time of the show where we talk about our buddies at Source Elements that makes Source Connect, the software that allows you to connect very professionally with very high quality and reliability between two studios for doing voiceover remotely. Most voice actors are working remotely. When you work from your home studio and you're using something like ISDN or Source Connect, you are the remote studio. And this software does it just about better than anything else that is out there. And Dan just recently used it.
I did.
Dan, you said you used Source Connect now recently. Tell us about your experience.
Our good buddy, Cliff Zellman, down in Dallas, Texas.
Yep.
He and I are working on my new commercial demo. Always good to keep your demo up to date.
Yeah.
And, of course, we want to communicate with each other, and he wants to record on his end, and I want to record on my end. So we have two good copies of all the great stuff that he's doing because he's a great director.
Yeah.
And we use Source Connect.
You used another popular alternative, and didn't work out so well.
We had minor difficulties.
Yeah.
So we're like, let's switch it over to Source Connect.
But were you on Source Connect or Source Connect Now?
Source Connect Now.
So you're using the free version.
Yes.
To do an actual session.
To do an actual session. Cliff said it sounded fabulous on the other end. Mm-hmm. We were able to record using that and do all those things with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great. And it was free.
Yeah.
You know, our sponsor is selling free stuff. You can't beat that.
They're going to make it up in volume.
Yeah. But obviously, Source Connect is a great product. I think everybody should have it simply as an alternative if you're doing stuff remotely. And
it's a nice alternative to a standard phone patch, too.
Absolutely.
Because if you have clients that week after week, they call you on the phone and they're listening to you on a telephone, give them something different.
Here,
give them value.
Click on
added.
This link.
Say, here, click on this link.
And
turn
I'll
up
talk
your
to you.
Speakers.
It works just fine.
Oh, man. The sound
Source
quality.
Connect.
Yeah.
Source Elements.
Good stuff. We appreciate you guys
Absolutely.
Supporting the show.
Yeah. All righty.
What's next, man?
What's back? Next on the agenda here? Well, let's see here.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. All right. We have a couple of questions here from our audience. We wish we had a studio audience. Nobody here this week. It's just you and me and our beer and Ari.
It's very quiet.
Yes.
And whatever comes into the chat room. So who's watching the chat room tonight and keeping an eye on our... I think it's Shelley Avellino. Shelley's in there tonight.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So if anything comes in from the chat room...
Oh, congratulations, by the way, to Anthony. He is a grandfather. Again.
What is that? Four, five? I'm losing track.
23. We're not
nice,
quite sure.
Man.
They just keep coming out, and he's like a proud grandpa. And
he always posts a picture with the new baby.
That's right. Okay, what do we got for questions this week? Phil King asks, recording chain tech query.
Yes.
Okay. See if I can read this from here. Well, you're closer. You read it.
I'll read it. Dear Dan and George, hi there. Love the show. Been watching you on YouTube as I think the live show at 5 a.m. in the U.K. A little tough to watch.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. After watching your show with John Bailey, I watched all his YouTube videos and found that he has some kind of live adjustment to his tone, possibly through a mixing desk. I'm not so sure about that. Normally, the advice you give is mic to 2i2 and to a computer. And I know the 2i2. He's talking about the Scarlett.
Right, right.
By Focusrite. It has a clipping function using the LEDs around the knob. But I haven't heard any advice on a live EQ whilst recording, only about how to EQ your voice after recording. Mr. Bailey probably does this as so that he has a sweet sound on his YouTube clips. I'll interject here and I will say that John is not an engineering geek.
No, he made that very clear.
He is a talent. And when you hear the way he sounds, that's because that's the way he sounds.
That's the way he sounds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm serious. There's no trickery there. So he's probably doing something to get the sweet spot, but yeah, I can tell you he's not. To cut a long story short, which is better, recording through a little EQ desk or a mixer with EQ, like I guess he's referring to, or adjusting EQ after recording through a flat mic. Kindest regards from Phil, a novice VO from the UK.
Wow.
And I'll throw his Twitter out there. It's at King's Voice UK.
Cool.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we talk about this over the years.
All the time.
You front end process or process
on the back in
post. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. My opinion always: do it in post because it's non-destructive. If you've got a good signal, your modulation is right, your acoustics are right, which is 95% of the quality of your audio.
Mm-hmm.
Why mess it up going into your computer? Oh, it saves time. Yes, except that if the engineer in the other end is like, "Well, you didn't EQ that right, or mm-hmm. you used the wrong compression, or something like that," that's a problem.
Yeah.
Do it in post. Yes, it takes a little extra time, but you can set up a stack or have your settings for your room to make those minor little adjustments to correct for the room tones and stuff like that.
Right.
But other than that, I always recommend you do it in post. Your thoughts?
Yeah. My thoughts are, and this kind of dovetails with Source Connect.
Right.
So if you're recording it,
right.
you have the ability to do it in post.
Right.
So why not do it in post?
Right.
You know, like, if you're recording and sending the files out, absolutely do it in post. It's worth it. You can have multiple different settings for different, like if you're doing an audiobook or if you're doing a promo.
Right. But if you're someone like Rick Wasserman or somebody who does promo.
If you're doing things real time with another studio, with Source Connect or ISDN, sometimes having some front end processing is going to be to your advantage because it depends on the production, who the client is, who the engineer is. They may want it completely as is. Or they might want it sort of pre-sweetened with a little bit of, you know, special sauce.
But no saccharin.
Right. And, you know, and that's because they want to have, they want to cut their workflow in half. Whatever they can do to save time saves them money, makes them more productive.
Right.
So if you send them a stream of audio that's already sort of ready for the air, they're going to appreciate that.
Right.
So if you're, as a new voice talent, you do not need to do that.
Right.
Record it clean. The only thing I might do if your mixer has it, if it has a high pass filter, I sometimes recommend turning that on because that takes away the rumbly recording, the junk in the room tone, you know. But other than that, Keep it flat. Keep it clean. Do it in post.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Our next question comes
in a bigger font.
Oh, thank you. Maybe I can read it. Oh, that helps a lot. Thank you very much. VOBS has been, this is from John Ruda.
Ruda. Yeah.
R-O-O-R-D-A. Ruda.
Ruda.
Maybe he's South African. Okay. VOBS has been an invaluable to me as a newbie, and I appreciate the wealth of information that you share. I'm running into a problem that I'm sure many of us face, and that's noise control in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do we have stories about that?
Yeah.
My day job has me traveling my butt off, so I face this problem frequently.
Yeah.
My current chain is a 416T into an iTrack Solo recording with Audacity. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
In my booth at home, I use an AT expander for Audacity. Front-end processing.
Maybe. He says it's for Audacity, so it could be a plug-in.
Could be a plug-in.
I'm not sure, yeah.
And find that it's great for dealing with minor rumbles outside my booth.
Uh-huh.
When I try to use AT expander on the road, I find that I have to turn up the threshold and slope high enough that the breaths get badly garbled and some of the sharpness is removed from my C's and T's.
Mm.
My newbie ears are much more satisfied with the results of Audacity's built-in noise reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. But I've heard veterans say that it sounds harsh and recommend against it. I recommend against it all the time. What do you recommend for noise reduction in hotels, especially for Audacity users? I'll let you go first.
You want me to go? Okay.
Okay. Right. I mean, I know what I think about this.
All right. Well, I mean, we always talk about we want to fix it at the source, so do it anything you can to get the quietest space you can. Turn off everything, unplug the mini fridge, you know, pick a room that's as far away from the elevators as possible, hang the do not disturb sign on your door so they can't vacuum.
And Harlan Hogan's favorite, unplug the Coke machine in the hall.
Unplug the Coke machine in the hall. If, anyway, anything you can do, right? So let's get that out of the way. That's the most important. If you're going to use a plugin like ATK Expander, you have to be careful and make sure that, as you said, that it's capable of cleaning up the audio without ruining it. And that's the problem with expanders. Anything that turns down the room tone when you're not talking, if your room tone is above a certain amount, let's say, I don't know, 35.
40, I was going to say 45. I was going to give them a little bit of leeway there.
But. If you're above minus 35 to 40 dB of room tone, it's going to be really hard to mask that using a gate because every time the expander closes and then opens again, that room tone is going to be very obvious every time it comes and goes, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably not going to work real well on its own. When I use processing like that, I'm not using just that processor. I'm using it in conjunction with other stuff. Like, first of all, as we mentioned, a high-pass filter.
Right.
Always take out the low end that's all that rumble.
Right.
Because
your voice doesn't go down that low.
No, unless you're really out there and you get below 80 hertz, and very few humans have much going on below 80 hertz.
Right.
So definitely roll off the low end. Even if it ends up being a little thin, at least it's not noisy.
Right.
Then you can probably use the expander a little bit. Sometimes it might take a combination of tools to get something that's acceptable, because the noise reduction in Audacity, you know, it's if you here's the thing about noise reduction.
Do tell.
If you need it really badly,
yeah,
it doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't.
That's the irony. Like when you need it the worst is when it works the worst.
Right.
I don't know. You get what you pay for. It's free with Audacity.
Right.
If you want good noise reduction, you have to invest in something called Cedar. Have you ever heard of Cedar?
I have.
It's a multi-$1,000 piece of equipment that is being used these days on sets to capture clean audio.
But isn't it easier to just be in a quieter space? That's what closets are for.
Yeah,
you can have a closet in your hotel room, take, you know, one of the duvets, which are really thick, especially in northeastern hotels.
Right.
And line the closet with it. That's amazing. And
exactly.
You can close the door behind you, especially if it's a fairly big closet.
Yeah.
And that will isolate a lot of the noise.
Right.
And that's really important. But
as
you say, it's more important to try as much as you can to physically get rid of it. Now, he says he's using a 416.
Yeah,
which is going to help a little bit.
It helps. It does help. Yeah.
But also remember, when you record on the road, you can't do it to match what you're doing at your home studio, because the acoustical signature is completely different. And so it's virtually impossible to do that. You can only do auditions, one-off auditions and stuff like that. You might be able to add a T or an S if an engineer says, hey, you missed a T or an S on this thing.
Right.
You might be able to do that.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be able to dub, you know, one thing that goes with something else in two different locations. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Did he mention that he was a new voice actor?
He did.
I'll tell you, man, recording remotely I call it the black diamond for you skiers out there. It's the black diamond of voiceover recording. This is like advanced stuff. To be able to, A, get a good performance in a hotel,
right,
not in a studio,
right,
and B, be able to get great sound at the same time when you're out of your normal environment. These are advanced skills.
They are.
This is hard.
Right. And also, he says, they sound good to my ears.
Yeah.
You don't hire you.
Yeah.
You know, trying to satisfy your own ears is a huge mistake a lot of newbies make because they don't really know what it's supposed to sound like.
Right.
But we do. So send your sound to us from your studio, and let's see what it sounds like, and then we'll go, you might want to try this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you said you're a road warrior. I have had people that do travel a lot send me audio when they get to where they're going. We plan this in advance so we know we have time. They send me the audio. And I now analyze it, and I figure out what's going to fix it. I create in the case of Audacity, a chain.
Yes.
You can make chains in Audacity. And I set up processing to deal with the sound the best we possibly can, you know. If you're just doing this for auditions, I don't know if it's worth spending the money to do that. But if you're a working voice actor and you're booking jobs, then you're going to lose work because you're traveling. It could be worth the effort and the cost. So,
cool.
Great question, though.
All right. There, we've solved the world's problems in less than 10 minutes.
Well, now we can throw to our special guest in a second, right after
the break. We can, after the break. David Goldberg's coming up to join us, the Chief Edge Officer from Edge Studios, and we're going to talk about voiceover education and a bunch of other topics. And if you got a question, throw it in the chat room. Anyway, we're Voiceover Body Shop, or VOBS, and we'll be right back.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voiceover Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
Alrighty. The Voiceover to Go-Go Voiceover curriculum is beginning anew in January. You notice this is the wrong one.
Oh, okay.
This is not the one he sent me today.
Well, we can read the one that's on the thing. Can you read that off the screen?
No, I'm going to find the one that was for VO to Go-Go February.
No problem.
That's one right here.
We'll just edit this out.
No, just it's going to still be here.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
We don't edit the show.
Let's see. If it's still the wrong one, we'll read the one that's on
here.
You
got it, man.
Okay. Yeah, see, for some reason that didn't work. Okay. All right, anyway.
I'll blow it up for you.
Okay, thank you. Let's talk about the amazing ACX Masterclass that David H. Lawrence, the 17th, is teaching this month. This amazing 4-week online class will take the guesswork out of working on audiobooks for ACX.
Mm-hmm.
ACX, very popular, great way to start doing audiobooks. You know, and it's a great way to help yourself get into voiceover too.
Yeah.
It's also a great way to fill in the time between voiceover jobs.
Good practice.
That's right. If you want a deep dive into the techniques, the strategies, the tactics, and the processes to maximize your success in ACX, this is the class for you. Go to acxmasterclass.com and register. Registration closes in just a few days, so you got to act fast.
Okay.
All right? That's acxmasterclass.com. acxmasterclass.com.
Got it.
All right. Thank you, David H. Lawrence and VO to Go-Go.
For your support.
And for your support and for teaching how it's done.
All right.
All right. And talking about teaching about how it's done. Yeah.
Another Master David. Yeah.
Sitting there very itchy, waiting to get on here, chomping at the bit.
Very patient.
Is the Chief Edge Officer, the guy at Edge Studios, your boss, but we won't talk about that. David Goldberg, welcome to Voiceover Body Shop.
Hey, guys.
Great to have you on. Nice to see you.
I'm standing. I'm not sitting.
There we go. There he is. All right. Sounds good. Looks good. Alrighty. Well, you know, everybody knows who you are. I mean, you're a very popular person. We see you at the conferences and stuff, but we don't know a whole lot about David. You know, we know you travel a lot. We know you're at a lot of these, you know, conferences, and you love to lecture at these things, and you teach all over the place. But who is David Goldberg? Where are you from? Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are.
I'm from Queens, New York, and was just always into music. And, you know, I guess I'll try to make this short.
No, take your time.
Phil, stretch. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I'll stretch it just a little bit. Growing up, my mom used to take piano lessons. And evidently, I don't recall this, but evidently, she was very upset because the teacher would leave our house. And after my mom would struggle through learning a song, I would just sit down and play it by ear. So this sort of became my thing. I became a pianist for a number of years and toured with the show Godspell. And when I was rather young, the whole band was old and older, and then they were driving, and I couldn't even drive at that time. And anyway, played piano for a long time, and in college got into recording music, which was really fun, and really enjoyed that, and sort of dropped the piano and began recording music. And one band led to two bands, led to four, and so on. And next thing I knew, I was recording major acts and stuff I still hear on the radio all the time. But the drugs, the consumption of drugs of the bands that I recorded was absurd.
Wow.
Just absurd. It's funny, little side note story. I remember when I left for college, my dad said to me, you know, son, you'll see a lot of stuff at college, drugs and stuff. You've never seen this stuff before because I was so clean. And, you know, don't be surprised by it. I'll tell you, college was nothing compared to a control room of a bunch of heavy rockers. Holy crap. They do some stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a day that I drove, a night that I drove home from the studio, and just it dawned on me, you know what, this is just not for me. So I became a drug-free studio, and I lost half of my clients. And a month or so later, I became a smoke-free studio, no more cigarettes, and lost the other half of my clients. And
wow.
What does one do with a whole bunch of microphones and sound, you know, little padded rooms and stuff, other than go into voiceover? And at the time, I didn't really know much about voiceover. When I was younger, I was commissioned to write some jingle music for a couple of companies, but that was the closest exposure I ever had to voiceover. But, you know, what else was there? And was a little tentative at first, but just loved it. And until to this day, I'm happy I made that transition. So I miss music. I miss music a lot. I really miss mixing. That's of all the things, of recording, I don't know, just the various stages of putting together an album. Mixing is the thing I really miss. I love voiceover and I love what I do. So
I was going to say, I mean, when you tell me the story, I take it hits home because I have a background in playing music as a kid growing up, getting into recording and kind of dropping the performance, and now being in voiceover. And I too miss the music side. Yeah. It is fun, but I don't miss the negatives of working in music.
Oh yeah.
There were quite a few.
Yeah. Like you said, musicians can be kind of interesting to work with, but the actual production of music and in voiceover, just being there and mixing stuff and there's nothing beats that. That's an engineer geeky thing, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But if you really enjoy that, so I can understand how you missed that. So how did you start Edge Studios?
It started in my college dorm. At the time, my nickname was Ed, and that's a long story I don't need to go into. But
okay.
the Ed in Edge is from my first, you know, nickname, and G for Goldberg, and it was Ed G's studio, and eventually became Edge Studio.
Oh, I did not know that. I knew David's stories. I did not know that one.
Nothing very exciting, but that's where it came from. Let me back up here. So when I mentor voice actors, I so often help them build their business, not just from their performance end, but just building their business and thinking ahead. And one huge error I made was not thinking ahead when I named the company, because I named it Edge Studio, singular. Studio, singular. And
right.
I never thought, okay, there might be a second studio, a second location or anything. And Now there's a software company who owns edgestudios.com, and for years we've been trying to buy that domain, and they will not sell. So think ahead.
Think ahead.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what specifically does Edge do? I mean, you're a sponsor here. We see the classes and all these things, but give us a little bit of a menu of what you offer there.
And yeah, and then you and tell me also what came first. Was it the production side or was it the education side?
I think the there's so many answers to this.
one at a time.
So I guess going in sequential order. So when I made the transition over to VoiceOver, originally it was production, but at the same time, as I began directing voice actors on productions, whether it be commercial or whatever it might have been, I found that a lot of the voice actors came back to me immediately after the session saying, hey, I like the way you directed this. Can you, help me with my demo? And so production, theoretically, if production was day one, education was on day two. They were together. They were one and of the same. Those two departments have grown equal size with Edge. It's funny because a lot of people who come to Edge for the education side of the business don't even realize that we cast and produce. And, of course, our clients who come for the casting and production don't know really much about the education. So it's really fun having two departments. And, of course, we now have the technology department, which is very fun and cool. And yeah, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. There's another department you have, too. You might want to hit that shot. No, this department? This department. Remember this department?
The George Whittam Technology Department.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone knows that George
story.
And Dan are the guys, right? George, it's thrilling working with you and getting to hear your stories, too.
Well, I mean, I never asked you, really. I mean, David and I have worked together for almost 3 years now, and I don't get that many opportunities to talk to David about, his perspective on it, but were you what were your thoughts when, because I was working with Graham Spicer at the time, who now works for Edge, my boss now, what were your thoughts when I approached you guys? Were you concerned, excited? What did you think when I came to you guys saying, do you want to team up with me?
You expect me to remember that? If there's one thing you know about me, it's no memory. with anything, I think here's a good answer. One of the reasons why I think that Edge has been successful is because I've always relied on people who specialize in things. And because you specialized in technology and home studios and, your end of the business, I was thrilled to at least explore, that idea, that concept of working together. I remember going back, 15 years ago, whatever it was, when we started doing more and more voiceover for videos, so many people said, why don't you just begin the video department? I said, no, because I don't know anything about video. That's not my area of expertise. And so it's always been relying on people who know something really well. Let someone else do something really well rather than try to learn it all yourself. And George and Dan, both of you guys are great. And George, that's what you brought to Edge. So it's been terrific.
Very cool.
So you're saying that you're going to keep me around for a little longer?
Well, we'll see at the end of this interview how you edit it. If you can make a guy from Queens sound okay, you're on.
It takes a guy from Philadelphia to make a guy from Queens sound good.
It does, right?
Anyway, voiceover is a real niche industry. I mean, there's a lot of different areas to it, different genres of material, and people have different talents, and there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of diversity of opinion on how to succeed in this business. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your philosophy of voiceover success? You've worked with a lot of people and brought them through the process from newbie to someone who's actually working. What's your philosophy of how to succeed in voiceover?
A couple of things I think are key. One is wrapping your head around the concept that you don't have to be everything to everyone. Mm. There is this, it's more than a desire. There's this incentive that voice actors have to show as much variety as they possibly can on their demos. And you know what? Let's go back in time, 20 years ago. So this will make sense in a moment. We'll kind of come back to where we are. So 20 years ago, commercial was half of the industry, narration was half of the industry, and commercial was more hard sell, more of an announcer style, and narration was more conversational, and at that time, voice actors were marketing on a cassette. You know, their demos were on cassette, which had two sides. It made all the sense in the world to sort of have two demos, right? Your commercial demo and your narration demo. Commercial being one side of the cassette with your announcer style, narration being the other side of the cassette with more of a conversational style. And also at that time, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have Source Connect and IPDTL and Skype and Source Connect Now and all of these cool technologies that allow us to record anyone from around the world. So if you were a voice actor, you had this one chance, one demo, one commercial demo or one narration demo. You couldn't really have more demos than that. And you had to be everything to everyone, because if you worked in New York, you wanted to showcase your variety. But getting back to the answer now, to really succeed, I think it is critical for someone, for a voice actor, to say, you know what, this is in my wheelhouse. This is what I do really well. And I don't need to sound like everything to everyone. So again, going back 20 years ago, I remember voice actors all had their Italian accent on their demo and their British accent and their Australian accent. And they would do their old man and their young kid. And it was crazy. People had dog barking on their demos. I mean, demos were not only longer, but just they were A to Z. And it just doesn't cut it today, because in our casting department, if a client wants French, we don't just say, fine, we'll find you a French voice actor. We say, great, well, do you want Parisian French or Canadian French or Malaysian French? And if they want Canadian French, we'll just email the file to someone, you know, in Quebec. And we know it's done correctly. So there's no reason to sound like everyone else. There's no reason to push your voice beyond where it naturally goes. So again, if you focus on what you do really well, and you don't worry about necessarily needing variety, then I think you increase your chance of success. Some voice actors just naturally have greater variety and some don't. Like some of the narrators on who narrate promos or documentaries, that's the one thing they do. And they do it really well. And if you listen to their demos, there's not that much variety. Same with some of the audiobook narrators, some of the greatest out there. They don't have that much variety and they can still be very successful. But then again, I guess you need to define what is success, right? Is success monetary or is it just enjoying what you do? Right. But so to the point, find out what you do really well, figure that out. You know, a decent coach should be able to help you with that. I can help you, whatever, but figure out where you belong in the industry. What makes sense for you and focus on that and don't feel compelled to just be everything to everyone.
Right. And like, what are you getting hired for? You know, what companies are paying you to do this kind of stuff? What kind of, you know, material are you succeeding in? And that's really what you should concentrate on. Now, on that same subject, got a lot of great coaches working over at Edge Studios. Who are the busiest ones and what genres are they teaching and why is it that they're so popular? Aside from the fact that they're all excellent coaches.
Are you asking why some of the coaches at Edge Studio are busier than other coaches at Edge?
Yes. What's the busiest area that your coaches are really pushing these?
Yeah, I guess genre wise.
Yeah,
genre wise. So when most people, when most aspiring voice actors try to get into voiceover, they only think of commercial work. Generally, they think of commercial work. If they think outside of the box, they think of animation. So really, those are the two genres where most people come in and explore. So if someone wants a private evaluation, something that we're very, we strongly encourage, that's the way I'll say it, we strongly encourage every aspiring voice actor to have an evaluation. And typically they want to start in commercial and possibly animation. So we have a lot of work in those two genres simply because that's where everyone wants to start. But once the aspiring voice actor realizes that, you know, wow, there's a lot of opportunity out there in audio tours and audio books and, you know, all the other areas of voiceover, e-learning and corporate work and so on, then they start spreading out. And that's why we have 30 something coaches, because most of those coaches specialize in one area. So this leads to another answer to the last question. So to become successful, I think it's critical to train with a coach who really, like, deep down understands that specific voiceover genre. Because all of the genres, like animation or ADR or audiobooks, they all have different unique characteristics to them, right? The demos are different. The clients are different. The clients request different types of auditions. The way you read is different. For any of the voice actors listening, you know that. You read differently for a promo than you would for an audiobook, and you would read differently on a nonfiction audiobook than you would a sci-fi. And so you have to work with someone who can teach you those specific, those unique characteristics. So if you want to get into audiobook narration, then work with a coach who, I mean, lives and breathes audiobook work. And I think at least to yet another way to be successful is to put together a demo that you think will work just for one day, just today. Let me record a demo. Let me make sure it's going to work right when I get out of, you know, when I get out of the gate. Meanwhile, there's this incentive that aspiring voice actors have to record a demo that's going to last them for 3 years. You know, the new voice actor says, you know, let me make this demo and let me use music that's generic enough so I don't have to bother updating my demo in another year or 2 years. But, you know, your demo is just a resume, and people constantly update their resume, right? Constantly. So same thing with your demo. So like if you are getting into audiobook work, then you want to work with this coach who lives and breathes audiobooks, and they know that today, right now, this publishing house is not looking for voices like yours, but this one is. Well, then put together a demo that's going to speak to that one, you know, so you get work right away. And I think that's another really important lesson of beginning your career. Or for voice actors who are currently working in the marketplace, same thing holds true. For those who want to sort of move into another genre of voiceover, you know, I work with a lot of voice actors. We say, you know, I've done promos for 10 years and I'm sick of them. You know, I'd love to move into something more more mainstream like e-learning. And sometimes I work with people who say to me, I've done e-learning for 10 years. I'd love to move into something like promos. And that's all cool. That's great. I love that challenge working with someone. But still, they need to work with a coach who understands the other genre. It's one of the, I think, the easiest ways to succeed in the industry. So, but sort of a recap. So figure out what makes sense for you, what genres make sense for you to work in. Work with someone who really specializes in that genre and put together a demo that's going to work right now. Don't worry about if the demo works in 3 years, because in 3 years you should be updating your demo anyway with stuff that you've been paid to record.
It'll be better in 3 years.
Yeah,
hopefully. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, with lots of practice. Now, you do demos at Edge. What's the, quickly go over the process of how you get people to record a demo.
Well, like I said, anyone who's aspiring has to go through the evaluation. And a lot of the evaluation is helping them figure out where they belong in the industry. And we look at not just the genres that fit their voice type, but also the personality. I mean, the greatest example, coming back to audiobooks, would be someone who's a fidgeter. For them to get into audiobook narration would be really hard, or someone who's claustrophobic, you know. So we help someone figure out where they belong. They go through the training, and at the end of the training, at some point when that student and their coach feel that they are ready to work on their own, that's when they're approved to record their demo. You know, we have lots of stop gaps along the way, really to make sure that someone is not recording their demo too early, but also we want to make sure that the demo represents the student's work. So our demos are not as flashy as other demos. We have a whole different mindset on these demos. The demos are really what work out there sounds like in the industry. And we record demos as much as possible without lots of editing, because we want the work to be the student's work. We want a student, again, especially someone who's new, to be able to go out there into the marketplace and say, yeah, I recorded this. This is my work. This is not some editor, some director who had me record every word 15 times and sliced and diced them together and, you know, time compressed and time expanded. And no, this is them.
It's not a modern pop album that's been pro-tooled to within the inch of its life. It's an actual performance.
Yeah, no airbrushing. I mean, certainly there's some airbrushing. I mean, because that's done in real productions also. But we keep it to what's representative of the student's ability. And, you know, and that means that the student is, when they're approved to record their demo, that means that we feel that they are ready to go out there and win work. And whether that's winning work in local production houses or small jobs, you know, local jobs, maybe even regional jobs through on the online casting sites. That's where they start. And then they should continue training, and a lot of them do, and build their careers with us. And that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, as we said, you have a lot of great coaches over there, people who I know are just very talented at what they do and teaching other people how to do it. But there's a lot of voiceover coaches out there. This business has grown exponentially over the last 5 to 6 years, where everybody is coaching. Why do you think that is?
I think for a lot of reasons. I think that there are certainly some voice actors out there who have not been successful, and they're finding this another source of income. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. That happens in every industry. Business people become consultants and so on. So that's certainly one thing. I think that there are some coaches out there, rather some people who just like me, who love this industry, who want to become involved, but they don't necessarily have the voice or the desire to be the voice actor. Just like there are some great tennis coaches who don't even play the game themselves, but wonderful coaches. Why else would there be more coaches? Well, you know why? Because this industry, and this is a great thing, is just growing exponentially. Look how big voiceover is. You go back 20 years ago, you know, there were two genres, commercial and narration. I hate the word narration. It sums up like 25 genres, you know. It just basically means anything that's not promo, audiobook, animation, or commercial. I mean, it's too big of a... It's too broad. But anyway, there's just so much work out there right now that there's more work, so there's more voice actors, so we need more coaches.
Yep. Yeah. And more work every day. I haven't seen a shrinkage in any amount of work out there. It just keeps growing and growing. But with so many coaches out there and so many different educational opportunities and voiceover schools like Edge, there, you know, you have competition and demo producers. How does someone navigate this landscape? I mean, it's like, who do I go with? Obviously, you know, if you go with Edge, we know the people that are working there, guys like George. But a lot of great coaches. How does someone find the right place for them? And is it important to find a place that teaches everything or something perhaps that specializes a little bit more?
I think to begin, for the aspiring voice actor, you need to find someone who has general comprehension of the entire industry so they can help you figure out where you belong. Make sense?
Yeah, because, I mean...
Here's the thing. Yeah. So many coaches come from one particular background. So there are a lot of coaches out there who their background is narrating commercials. And I've heard not 10 or 100 times, but probably 1,000, if not more times over my career so far in voice act and as a voice coach, I've heard people come to me and say, you know what, I went somewhere else and I won't say their names, you know, the other coaches' names, but I just wasn't successful. I don't know. It's just, I really wanted to become an audiobook narrator, but they helped me put together this commercial demo. And I say, wait. If you want to become an audiobook narrator, then why did you even bother putting together a commercial demo? They say, that's what they taught me. That's what they had me do. And that makes no sense to me. Like, you don't have to have a commercial demo. Like I said earlier, there's so many voice actors out there who specialize in promos or specialize in documentary or specialize in medical narration and telephony and e-learning. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to record commercials. At least that's my belief. I think you go where it makes sense, as we said. So to find a coach or a school, I think, number one, start with someone who understands the entire landscape. And I think that's a great thing, if I can give you the shameless plug, as you spoke about earlier.
Feel free. You know,
because
plug
we have
away.
The casting and production department, we record in every freaking genre. I mean, we've recorded in hundreds of languages and every genre imaginable. We've done it all. We've been there. We've done it all. And so we have really good understanding of all of the different areas and what's new in the world and what's coming next and stuff. And we work on some really cool things and it's exciting. It's really exciting. So when someone comes to us and says, you know, hey, I'm interested in voiceover, we can really help them figure out what makes sense for them, whether or not they are talented, whether or not there's something marketable about them. And if there is, great, you know, you may be better in commercial or maybe not in commercial, maybe another genre. And then the second step, as I said, is work with a coach who specializes in that genre. just it's absolutely critical. One, it's impossible for one person to know it all. It just doesn't happen.
Yep. David, it's fabulous talking to you about this stuff. We have a lot of questions coming from our chat room, people who want the private time with David Goldberg. I mean, it's important stuff. But we're going to take a commercial break. We'll get to those questions right after this. So don't go away. We'll be right back with David Goldberg on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Yeah, the Home Voiceover... Are we back?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, good. The Home Voiceover Studio is a very unique place, as that last commercial said for this home studio guy. One of the places you can get the equipment to do that is over at voiceoveressentials.com. Run by our dear friend Harlan Hogan, H2 to those of us that know him very well. But you can call him that too, and he'll go, "Who told you to tell me to call me that?" But anyway, if you go over to voiceoveressentials.com, he's got all sorts of cool stuff like the porta booth. Now, we had that question earlier, someone asking about recording in a hotel room. Who invented the porta booth? Harlan Hogan. And where can you get it? You can only get it at voiceoveressentials.com. And it's a great store online. You don't have to, like, peruse the aisles. You can just click on a link that is right down there somewhere. Is it at the bottom of the page still?
Still down there.
It's down there. Just
there
keep going.
There it is.
Right. You click on Harlan. He loves it when he gets clicked on. And it takes you right to his store. And you see all the great stuff he has there. But there's the porta booth. Pro, his original design, which is a great little piece of equipment to take on the road with you, because not only does it dampen voices, you know, it dampen the room, it also has this cool thing you throw over your head, a very light sheet that helps you get rid of some of the background
noise. Seems like that. It's this piece of material. It's sort of velour-like. You wouldn't think it would do a whole lot, but it does actually reduce some of the echo around you.
It makes you feel like Matthew Brady, you know, doing tintypes, you know. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But it does work.
It's like an Ansel Adams, actually.
Right. And actually, if you actually reach that little light that's like next to my 416 there.
Oh, yeah, here's the light it comes with.
This actually comes with it. This is the Harlan Hogan special light. And it still works. You know how long? Well, it did work. Well, wait, there it is. Okay.
Ta-da.
You can see this goes inside and it lights your copy. The guy thought of there's even a little pocket in there.
There's a little thing that you clip the light to.
You clip the light to, yeah. And you can put your copy inside there, and you talk into the top lip of the porta booth Pro, and it sounds like you're in a regular studio.
Yeah, it's pretty
so
neat.
Go on over to VoiceOverEssentials, nice catch, .com. And pick one of those up. It's the perfect thing to have with you on the road. Thanks, Harlan.
Thanks, Harlan. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're back with David Goldberg, and lots of people have lots of questions. Are you ready? It's the lightning round.
Let me turn up his mic.
Okay.
All right.
Three seconds per answer. What do I get?
You get 2 points for every answer. Okay. All righty. Paul Stefano says, I have a question. Well, good, because we're asking for questions. What criteria does Edge use to pick coaches?
Ooh.
Deep question.
Yeah. Who wants to become a coach? It depends on your location. It depends on your expertise. Believe it or not, every coach goes through crazy, crazy training just to really make sure that they're prepared for the job ahead. Making sure, you know, so this brings up an interesting point. Paul, it's a great question. Earlier, you're asking me what can help someone become successful. I think another thing that helps someone become successful is understanding that there's not one way to do anything, right? There's not one answer. There are coaches out there who say, always drop the T, or another coach says, always pronounce your T's. And someone says, always throw away punctuation. And another coach says, no, 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 always follow the punctuation. The thing is, there's a time and place for everything. And so when we are evaluating coaches, we're looking for coaches who understand that there's not one right answer. It kills me. And actually, Dan and George, you guys were like this. I always feel bad for aspiring voice actors who will go onto like a blog or something and say, they'll type in, hey, I'm new to voiceover. Can anyone suggest a microphone? Because I feel like that person will be inundated with 20 different answers from 20 different people, each swearing by a different microphone. And you guys know way more than I do that you buy a microphone based on your voice type and the acoustics of your room and the genre you might be working in. And, you know, promos have a different mic typically than audiobooks. And there are different microphones for different purposes. But someone who's new to the industry really has to understand that there are different microphones for different reasons, and there are different techniques, different vocal techniques for different types of voiceover work. And like I said, there's not one way to do everything. So, yeah, when we evaluate a coach, obviously we have to know where the coach is located and what it is that they specialize in, and is there a draw for that? But more so, are they aware? Are they aware of the industry? That's just a critical thing. Also, a lot of voice actors who want to become coaches are excellent at acting, and they suck at teaching. And some people are great at teaching, but they don't know the industry well enough. So we have to find someone who can teach and understands the industry. And teaching's not easy for everyone, you know? Sometimes you work with a student and you teach them a performance technique, and they, you know, smoothing out their delivery, for example, and the student just can't quite get it. Well, you have to teach them differently until something just clicks in the student's head. I would say a third criteria is to find a coach who can be honest. This is probably the core of our education program, is honesty. Helping a student is really being honest with them. So about 50% of the people who come to us in the evaluations, we say, you know what, don't go and make a demo now. You know, either this is not for you at all, or maybe you need a speech pathologist, or, you know, if you want to do some training, that's fine. We can't guarantee you anything, but do not sign up for a demo. This is not for you at this point. And finding a coach who is that honest, who not only is that honest, but is comfortable enough with themselves to be able to say those words to a prospective student, that's another key qualifier for us. So those are some things, Paul, that come to mind.
Dana Bertzel asks, what are David's top three performance tips for voice actors working in the narration and commercial genres? I know narration is, like you said, very broad. But what are three tips, you know, that you can come up with in a minute or less? Because we have a lot more questions.
Go.
Don't stumble. Don't burp. Don't yawn when reading. How's that?
That's pretty good. Those are pretty straightforward.
Okay.
No beer.
Three things.
Reading.
I'll say. I base this on just hearing thousands upon thousands of auditions. Number one, smooth out your delivery. Most voice actors, and 95% of them, I'd say, are choppy. They don't hear it until I point it out, but they are choppy. And every single time when I point it out and we play back a recording, they say, oh, yeah, my God, I can't believe I was doing that. Second thing, change your delivery from phrase to phrase when appropriate. So you look at you're given a script, and the director says, you know, we want a warm, friendly voice, or whatever they say. So most voice actors have the exact same tone, the same delivery style on the first word of their script and all the way through the very last word of the script. And that becomes boring, especially on a longer piece like a training video or a documentary. Change it up, keep it interesting, but you can only go so far. What would be the third top thing? Wow. Oh, I have one. Really think about which words to emphasize from the client's perspective. So this is another way to become another, we should start a list here, the things to do to become successful, at least in you know, from my perspective. Think about the script from the client's perspective. And here's how I'll say it. If you're given something as straightforward as a commercial, by the time the voice acting community, gets the script, everything else in that commercial has been done. Usually the whole script, of course, the copy is written, but the storyboard has been done and the video is probably shot, or at least mostly shot, and music may be even pre-selected. All of the different elements, the different pieces of the puzzle are in place. And voiceover is always, or usually, the bottom of the food chain. We're the end of the process. So if you imagine that the visuals and the video and the graphics and the music and the writing and all of these things are different pieces of a puzzle, there's just one piece of the puzzle missing. And that's us. And we have to fit our voiceover into that puzzle. We have to fit our piece of the puzzle to fit everything else. And what happens is voice actors tend to do things from their own perspective, but that doesn't do diddly squat for the client. Think about it from their perspective. What is it that they need? What kind of delivery do they want? What are they listening for or hoping to hear when they listen to auditions?
All right. Shelly Avellino, who, by the way, is monitoring the chat room tonight.
Thank you, Shelly.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, because Anthony's being busy being a granddad tonight. She asks, what are your goals for 2016 for Edge Studio?
Our new website.
Yes. Agreed.
George knows more than anyone else, yeah. We've been working on a new website for, it's been a long time. So yeah. That's the goal.
Well, I mean,
because the new website has so much on it, it's really looking to be fantastic.
I mean, the reason we're so excited about the new website is if you've used the current website, there's a lot of stuff on there, and it can be a little hard to navigate. And the new one's going to be much clearer and cleaner, right? That's a big part of it. And just there's better ways to manage your account and know what you have and schedule things. It's just going to be pretty amazing.
It's the new website will have a easier ways for voice actors to have resources. We have so many resources on our website for free. Yet voice actors can't even find them. When they hear about them, they can't find them.
Right.
You know, we have things like the words to time calculator, which, you know, a lot of voice actors tell me is their favorite thing. It's like their number one, you know, linked page. And then other voice actors come to me and say, hey, I keep hearing about this words to time calculator, but I can't find it.
Right.
And I think to myself, that sucks. That really sucks. You know,
yeah.
It's too bad you're not using it. It's free. It's really cool. It's so helpful. The new website will make things much easier to navigate.
Diana Bertzel, another question.
Lovely and talented Diana Bertzel.
Do you prefer to coach voice talent or run the business? Which do you like to do the most if you have to pick one?
I think I'd know the answer to that.
I think so too. Yeah. But David? Yes.
Coach.
Coach by far, right?
I love them both, but there is nothing more gratifying than working with an actor and helping them grow their business. That's cool.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. D-Box asks, because he always has a good question.
Oh, yeah.
What's the most bizarre voiceover session you've ever directed?
Two really quickly come to mind.
That you can talk about.
that I can talk about. Yeah, we've done a lot of erotica books, and I can't talk about some of the words we've heard. What's interesting, the two stories that come to mind, both involved a person taking off their shirt, but one's a male and one's a female. I'll talk about the female.
Yeah,
the female
that one. Sounds more interesting.
Do tell.
Yeah, so this is sort of gross, but it's so gross it comes back around as funny. So I think everyone understands that there's always these really cool, you know, pieces of glass between the control room and the voiceover booth, and they're at angles, right? And okay, so we have this intern, and I don't know, he's 15 or 16 years old, and he's wiring up some a microphone once or something, and his girlfriend comes by to the studio, and she happens to mention that it's the intern's birthday. I think this kid's name is Brian. Anyway, she mentions that it's Brian's birthday. It was Brian. Well, the voice actor who was in also did a lot of pole dancing, and she was probably more than just pole dancing. But anyway, she was kind of crazy. She had a lovely voice, but she was very open to taking off her clothes, evidently. So she said, "No, I have something. I'll give this, you know, this kid for his birthday." So next thing we know, she's in the voiceover booth. She has her top off, her bra off, and she presses her breasts up against the glass. my camera here, you can't quite see.
Yeah, you don't need to demonstrate. That's fine.
And it left the marks, the impression of her breasts and nipples on the glass perfectly. And no one, like everyone, was scared to clean it. It was kind of gross at the same time. And it stayed there for a little while. And, you know, people would come in and have no idea why there were rings on the piece of glass, whatever say. But the rings were there for a couple of days until finally, you know, our cleaning service cleaned them off.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like Midnight Express.
It's very funny. Oh,
my God. All right. Well, moving on. Diane also asks, although I won't, that we'll never be able to leave that question. Does David think the voice industry is trending more towards who you know or how good your demos are?
I think neither. I mean, certainly who you know is key, right? If you happen to know someone, they can hopefully get you in for some work, and how good your demo is great. But this, ultimately, in the long run, you're running a business. And so you also need to perform well. And I think that performance trumps everything. You know, it's like a restaurant, you know, they could have great food, but if the service sucks, they'll probably go out of business. And the reverse, if the service is great, but the food sucks. I mean, this is a business, and it's no different than any other business. It's a chain. You need all the components working together. So yeah, who you know is helpful for marketing. How good your demo is helpful. Recording well is helpful. Analyzing copy is helpful. Being polite, being professional is helpful. You need it all.
Amy Fisher asks, this is a biggie, Union or FICOR, and does David or Edge record demos remotely? So, wow, two totally different questions. But what is your thoughts on Union versus FICOR? And then you can talk about the demos production remotely.
I think FICOR is a personal choice. You know, there are lots of voice actors who are FICOR who have sworn me to secrecy that they are FICOR. And,
sure.
And there are those that are, as I'm sure you guys know, some of them are very more than just open about it. They want to promote the fact that they are FICOR and that they're comfortable with it. It's a personal choice. There's some benefits of going obviously there's huge benefits of going FICOR to be able to narrate non-union and union work, but you know, there's some pitfalls in that too. And but there's also, you know, but I'm surprised that your question doesn't also talk about going not or staying non-union, because that's also right. A personal choice. There are a lot of very, very successful voice actors who are non-union. Again, success by type of work you want to record or, you know, just making some serious money. I know voice actors who make a boatload of money who are non-union. Like I know some who are union who make a lot of money. And so it's just a choice. And do I record demos remotely? Yes. Yep. Absolutely. That was the easiest answer yet. Oh, hey, I don't hear you guys.
Maybe you should turn on the microphone.
It helps if you turn on the mic.
Is that when the light is green?
Yes.
I blame it on that beer. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. It's good beer. Devox asks, David has a thing about glottal stops. Can he explain and demonstrate? And why do they bother you so much?
Okay. A glottal stop. This is a great question. So let me reference back to something I said earlier. One of the best ways to read well is to smooth out your delivery, meaning connect your words. Because in natural life, we don't pause between every word. Our words are connected. But when voice actors
read...
You're
driving me nuts doing it.
Yeah, I know. Driving myself nuts. But when voice actors read, they have a tendency to unintentionally hesitate before words which begin with vowels. Let me repeat that. Most voice actors unintentionally Without knowing it, they pause before words which begin with vowels. So, for example, a voice actor would read a script and say, our store has every item in stock. I'm exaggerating it to illustrate the point, but typically a voice actor would read that sentence like this. Our store has every item in stock. Where it would sound nicer if the words flowed together, we have every item in stock. Now, rather than every item in stock, that little pause before the words which begin with vowels is a glottal stop. It comes for just having too much tension in the voice and so on. And so it's a wonderful technique to learn is to eliminate the glottal stop, to blend your words. So, for example, we have every item. You blend those words. Now, a lot of voice actors will come back and say, no, David, but I paused it because I was emphasizing the word. But then I can play the script back for them, and they'll hear if the entire 60-second commercial, for example, has 20 words which begin with vowels, they pause before only those 20 words and nowhere else. Oh, at some point, you realize, okay, it's not just a coincidence that I happened to want it, that I chose to emphasize every word that began with a vowel. You realize, okay, you know what? Crap, I have a glottal stop. I do this thing when I read. So if you can learn how to smooth it out on command, you sound great. It's just a quick way to sound a lot better. There's nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong with pausing before a word which begins with a vowel if it is intentional. But when it is unintentional, that's the problem.
Timing. It would be so nice if there was language like music for voiceover, because then you get a sound. This is legato. This is staccato. You know, and stop being staccato. I need more legato. You know, then you could communicate it in two words, you know.
if you happen to read music.
That's what I mean. If there was a language like music for voiceover, you know.
There's something we could invent.
There you go.
It's tomorrow morning, we invent new language.
Before I go to the gym.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Amy Sorenzi asks, would love to see Edge put together a practical hands-on curriculum post-demo record that's about 8 to 10 sessions where the course covers the basics of audio editing and sound principles specific to voiceover. I just ask you. Hmm. You work for Edge. You teach him all that stuff.
All right.
Webinars are great, but sometimes sitting down with other voice actors in a class setting is beneficial. Any plans for something like that?
I think that's a terrific idea. Thanks. I think we have all of that offered privately through George or anyone on his team, even in New York, you know, or any of our locations. We don't have a full curriculum out for the technical end of the voice acting industry. We have curriculums for performance and for demo recording and things like that, but not necessarily for the technology end of things. But I think that is a terrific idea. Thank you for that. And if we put something together, well, I'll be sure to make sure that you find out about it. Oh, you guys are muted, which means that you guys are saying something.
The beer's working, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
That's why we listen to our audience, because they have a lot of great ideas. That's why we love doing it live at the chat room. You know, there's so many brilliant people in this chat room. Last question. We'll wrap it up on this one. This one came in through email. It came a little while ago, but I figured this is a perfect question for you, David, so that's why I wanted to read it tonight. It came from Paula Slater, and it's about demo price range. And she says, I'm a newbie.
Got a lot of newbies watching.
Yeah, that's great, though.
Which is quite fabulous.
No more than a year since I've been a... Oh, she says, for more than a year, I'm sorry, I've been a podcast host. I recently became interested in learning to be a voice actor. And I just lost the question because I clicked on the screen and it jumped off.
I can pick it up.
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. I became interested in learning to be a voice actor in telephone and small ads.
Oh.
I'm taking a voiceover course and I'm interested in creating a demo. I've seen many different prices for demo creation. What? I'm being epiglottal stops here. What's the price range for a beginning demo? Thank you.
Yeah, price range. I've seen demos for like $200, and I've seen them for $4,000. It really comes back down to finding the coach that you want to work with and having a budget for yourself. I think those are the key things. Edge Studio is not the most expensive. We're not the least expensive. We're usually in the middle somewhere. Our demos tend to be very, very real, very practical sounding. like I said earlier, they just speak to a client. They're not as fancy, but they're just very realistic. So how much will you spend? I don't know. It's up to you. I mean, like I said, your budget and figure out the coach you're working with. If you have a coach who is just perfect for you and they charge more, then maybe stick with that coach, because if you have a comfort level with them, that's critical. You need to feel comfortable and confident with the person that's teaching you. If you have any doubt that they're not current in the industry, they don't know what's going on in the industry, they don't know where work is coming from or how you should be marketing, and so you can tailor your demo to, you know, your marketing, then don't work with them. And when you find someone that that knows that stuff and you're sure that they are the right person to help you through this process, then hopefully you can afford whatever it is that they charge.
I mean, I know, coming from the outside, coming into voiceover, I used to think that, well, I'm an engineer, I'll produce voiceover demos.
It's so simple.
What the heck, right? I can record, I know music, piece of cake. And there's probably a lot of other guys like me out there trying to produce demos. They're probably doing them kind of cheaply. Right. They're probably using script that's pre-written, and they're probably not very good coaches. And I think that's the thing, is like new voice actor talent out there think that recording a demo is this kind of a mechanical process.
It's a generic thing.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It is not. It's like the coaching that goes into it is extensive sometimes.
Yeah. And the editing and the mixing and the music choices.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the things I do a lot of are evaluate demos.
I was going to say, is there actually such a thing as a beginning demo, as she kind of put it? I mean, I don't really think that there is. You have a first demo, but it's not a beginner demo. It's a demo.
Right. If you open up a restaurant, you can't have a beginner menu. I mean, you have to be in this and have good food, you know? You can't sort of have good food for the first year, you won't make it, you know?
Yeah.
Luckily here, you don't have a rent to pay or employees or, you know, things like that to worry about. But yeah, your demo has to be right. It just has to be professional, industry standard.
Right.
And yeah, to what you said, George, you know, so many people put out really, really pretty cruddy demos. I mean, I evaluate so many demos, and I just feel bad sometimes pointing out to someone who's new in the industry, just saying, well, look, you know, this is bad for this reason, or that's bad, and they realize and they say, oh wow, I never thought about that. You're right, and it's a shame. But you know, that's why you find someone who's really, really current in the industry, who has a handle on what's going on in the industry, like Edge.
Good point. Well, David, it has been fabulous having you on our show again. And, we always it's always great to see you in person like we did last week. It's great having you on. And thanks for all this great information. If somebody wants to go to Edge Studio and look at their services, where do they go?
EdgeStudio.com. No S. Not Edge Studios. Edge Studio.
Studio. Otherwise, you will find somebody else.
But I will say, we're open to calls. I mean, it's a talking industry. So, you know, if you call us, we can hear your voice. So our phone number is easy to remember. It's 888, so 888-321-EDGE. Okay. 888-321-EDGE.
Sounds like a popular injury law firm. Anyway, David, thanks again for being with us. Great seeing you.
And thanks,
and
guys.
We'll see you again real soon.
You got it. Bye, everyone.
All righty. David Goldberg, Chief Edge Officer. Executive Officer, I guess. It might be what it is. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up into a nice tight little bow.
Take two.
In just a minute. We're going to wrap things up into a nice, tight little bow in just a minute and finish our beers here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So don't go away. We'll be...
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated, too. advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
We lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlantProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
This is John Bailey, the epic voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland.
Yes, for all you people watching in Newfoundland, very, very important. So I grew up watching hockey games in the CBC.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's like, you know, 8:30 in Newfoundland.
It's actually relevant.
It actually is important, especially if you're in Newfoundland.
That's right.
But there actually aren't any people in Newfoundland. Well, we'd like to thank, of course, our guest, David Goldberg, for joining us tonight. What's coming up in the next couple?
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
Haven't heard that one in a while.
I know.
Let's see. Next week, February 8th. Mm-hmm. By the way, tomorrow is Groundhog's Day. My wife and I pledged to have breakfast on our patio on Groundhog's Day because Groundhog's Day last year, there was 4 feet of snow. It was 2 below 0 back in Buffalo, not in California. We're going to have grapefruit off of our grapefruit tree.
Lovely.
Remember to take some grapefruit home with
you. I will.
All right. Next week's February 8th, David Rosenthal in person right here in our studio.
Very nice.
He is from the Global Voice Academy. He is the chief executive officer there. Coach director, onlinevoiceovercoach.com.
Okay.
February 15th. Our good friend, Tom Deere.
All right.
The H is silent, but his voice isn't.
That's right.
Talk about great branding. I didn't forget that one.
And now I remember you put an H in his name in the notes.
Well, see, and I didn't even...
There you go.
I know it's all up here.
Good job.
But he'll be joining us. We'll be talking about voiceover marketing. Mm-hmm. February 23rd.
The 22nd.
Amazing,
22nd? 22nd, yeah.
22nd.
Pink is hard to read.
I know.
Marge, you know.
Oh, the wonderfully lovely and incredibly talented Marge, you know, who just signed with William Morrissey.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to her. She'll be joining us from Denver. And then on February
29th. I'll be there, too.
You're going to be there, too?
I'm going to be there. Yeah.
I'm going to be all by myself?
Perfect timing that I could be there with them. It's going to be fun. It'll be remote.
Then on February 29th, the last day of February, because you can't have a February 30th.
That's right.
And rarely a February 29th. Hope Levy. Owner of Van Voiceovers Network, VAN, the Voiceovers Network, and her 9-year-old son, Sam, who is a voice actor in cartoons. Maybe we'll find a little spot for him in Mugman somewhere.
Right on.
See what happens. We need to thank our donors of the week.
I'll rattle them off. We got Eric Aragoni. We love him. Paul Stefano. Thank you, Paul. Don Griffith. Martha Kahn. Antland Productions. Shauna Pennington Baird. Michael Martin. Diana Birdsall, Jeffrey Scott Chambers.
Those are
the new ones that have come in.
Yeah. Send us your background shots. People stop sending us shots. You know, it's great having the Hollywood side here. I mean, it's kind of cool being here in Hollywood, but we want to see what your studios look like. We've had Joseph Briano's studio and a few others. Send us your studio, you know, unless it's a little tiny place and we'll have to be
that
here.
That would be pretty weird.
That would be kind of weird.
It's a closet.
Yes.
We just got donations from David Smith.
And great.
Was that David Smith? Yeah. And we also got donations from David Smith. And what was the other one that just snuck in under the wire there? Brian Scott Kelly.
Brian Scott Kelly.
Thank
great.
You, buddy. And what's going on next? You can, if you want to do an opening read, you don't have to listen to John Taylor. It's a great read, but
you don't have to listen to John Taylor's
read. You could do your read. And if it's good enough, if we love it, and it's unique, we'll use it for the opener of the show.
But we got to love it. Yeah. Don't try to just imitate John.
Yeah, do your own thing.
Right. Show logs.
Jack DeGolia.
Jack's out there still writing every word down we say. Every word that David said, he has taken down, not in shorthand, he's written it in longhand. He writes really, really fast. and the show logs are there on our website, and you can, you know, fast forward to where... Where, say, perhaps David said something really important.
You find all the nuggets.
Find all the nuggets. Mm-hmm. The podcast?
Stitcher Radio, iTunes, ewabs.podbean.com. Anywhere your podcatcher can find podcasts, you can find VOBs.
All righty. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're on in England at, what time is that?
2 in the morning.
2 in the morning, GMT or UTC, depending on what time standard you use.
That's right.
You want to be in our studio? we've got a couple of remote broadcasts going on. I mean, right. you're going to be remote. You're going to be in Denver with Mars, you know, and probably Jordan Reynolds hanging out there as well.
Yeah.
But
when we have guests here.
But we have guests in the studio, like next week when we have David Rosenthal in here. We have room in this voluminous. Do we have a shot of the studio here?
I don't think we have a camera. I don't have this camera.
Oh, never mind.
Okay. They've seen it.
They've seen the studio. My marvelous multimedia studio here in Sherman Oaks. Come on down. Be in the studio. We have some refreshments occasionally. Nothing spectacular. Bring your own. That helps. Write to us here at the guys at VOBS.TV, and you too could be sitting right in front of us here, smiling at us. It's way more fun for us. It absolutely is. Let's see.
Sponsors: Harlan Hogan,
VoiceOver Extra,
Edge Studio,
Source Elements,
VO2GoGo,
and also
Ant-Man
Productions and their killer demos. And thank you for helping us up with the uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth, because before we had to have car commercials on here that would interrupt the middle of the show. That was like 4 years
ago. We're going back a ways.
We're going on 5 years, March 22nd.
Of doing a show almost every Monday night.
Almost every Monday night. Yeah. Well, Sunday nights, and then like and then, 4 years of Monday nights.
Yep, that's right.
Okay. We need to thank Anthony, who's, who wasn't here tonight, but Shelley was running the chat room.
Yep.
Catherine Curran, who does an amazing job of getting us all of these amazing guests.
I know.
Thank you, Catherine, for doing that. Jack DeGoli for the show notes, and Lee Penny for being Lee Penny.
Exactly. That's it. We can poke a fork in this baby.
It's done.
It's done, man.
All righty. Well, thanks again to David Goldberg for joining us tonight. Always a wonderful speaking with him, but it's always wonderful to have you out there watching VoiceOver Body Shop every week here at VOBS TV, and we really appreciate it. So, come back every Monday night. Even if we're not here, you can, just join the party.
In the chat room.
People go in the
chat room's always working.
No matter what.
It's always live.
You could, talk to people there on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
Anytime you want.
Anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week.